Welcome to today's Walnut Wednesday edition of the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm your host, Lori Boyer. In addition to feature reports, I'll bring you a look at regional and national agricultural news. And the show starts right after this.
Get ready for the 2023 Crop Consultant Conference in Visalia, California on September 27th and 28th, hosted by Progressive Crop Consultant Magazine and Western Region Certified Crop Advisors. This two-day event will feature a combined 44 hours of live and online continuing education units for attendees in the heart of California, a trade show, first-class dining, entertainment, and a mixer. Come join CCAs, PCAs, growers, and industry professionals at the Visalia Convention Center to hear from researchers and colleagues on the latest in agriculture. Registration is now open at progressivecrop.com/conference.
The Citrus Pest and Disease Prevention Program is hosting three free training workshops for field crew supervisors and farm labor contractors in San Diego, Ventura, and Tulare counties this month. The training workshops will be presented in Spanish and will review best practices for field crews on how they can properly prevent the spread of Asian citrus psylliads with a hands-on training opportunity. The train-to-trainer workshops will each be half-day in length and will take place on the following dates: Monday, August 21st at 10 a.m. in Escondido in San Diego County, Tuesday, August 22nd, also at 10 a.m. in St. Paula in Ventura County, and Thursday, August 24th in Exeter in Tulare County, the start time not yet determined. The training workshops will also fulfill the requirement listed in CDFA's Harvesters Farm Labor Contractors Compliance Agreement for these industry members to stay abreast of ACB and Wanna Longbean prevention practices. In addition, compliance agreements will be available at the training workshops. RSVPs are strongly encouraged. Location details, workshop start times, and additional information will be sent upon RSVP. For information and to RSVP, log on to citrusinsider.org. The California Department of Food and Agriculture's Farmer Equity Office has announced appointments to the Black, Indigenous, and People of Color Producer and Small-Scale Producer Advisory Committees. These committees will help to inform and advise CDFA on matters pertaining to the implementation of AB 1348, the Farmer Equity Act, and recommendations contained within the 2020 Farmer Equity Report, including but not limited to all efforts to ensure socially disadvantaged farmers and ranchers and small-scale producers are better served through CDFA's programs, resources, and technical assistance policy and communications. The BIPOC Producer Advisory Committee consists of six BIPOC agricultural producers, two members of nonprofit organizations representing primary BIPOC producers, two members of a university or community college focused on research related to small-scale BIPOC producers, one member representing a California Native American tribe or tribal serving organization, and one member of an organization providing technical assistance to BIPOC producers. The Small Scale Producer Committee consists of five small-scale agricultural producers, one member representing a California Native American tribe or tribal serving organization, one member representing urban agriculture, one member of a nonprofit organization representing small-scale producers, one academic member, and one technical assistance provider serving small-scale producers. There was an overwhelming interest from a highly competitive pool of applicants to both committees, according to CDFA. The BIPOC Producer and Small-Scale Producer Advisory Committees will meet on a quarterly basis, four times per calendar year. Meetings will be held in January, April, August, and October. Appointments to both committees are four-year terms, and initial appointments will be staggered. Members on the committees receive no compensation but are entitled to reimbursement for actual expenses incurred while attending committee meetings. The list of BIPOC Producer and Small-Scale Producer Advisory Committee members can be found on the CDFA Boards and Commissions webpage. The market price on organic avocados has once again hit stratospheric levels as the volume on larger sized fruit is very limited. The freight on board price reached in the upper 70s on 48s, while wholesale produce marketers were asking in the upper 80s or even more. California's organic production is quickly winding down, and Mexico's summer crop continues to have problems reaching a normal size curve. Peru is chipping in with some organic volume on larger sizes, but virtually all of that volume is committed to program sales. Created over 30 years ago, the Farming, Agriculture, and Resource Management for Sustainability, or FARMS program, has served diverse communities throughout California, introducing careers in ag and environmental sciences to tens of thousands of high school youth, most with no previous access to these opportunities. That according to a press release. It was founded in Winters, California, by farmer Craig McNamara, who wanted to have city kids visit his Yolo County farm to learn more about where their food originates, which led him to help found the FARMS Leadership Program. That according to a FARMS news release. The program, which has the motto of Inspire, Educate, Cultivate, is designed to introduce, train, and recruit about 200 high school students from major farming regions in the Central Valley, Northern California, and the Central Coast each school year for college and career opportunities. That according to Leticia Hernandez, the program's alumni and internship manager. Career paths for participants include core positions such as harvesting and packing, as well as human resources, marketing, research and development, gene editing, and breeding. Students gain hands-on farm experiences through monthly field days, a key element of the Basic FARMS program. The FARMS Leadership Program is tier one of the experience in which students engage in career exploration. Two more levels were added in the past decade. FARMS Advanced, a second-year option, added in 2015, provides no more than 40 first-year students with the opportunity to sharpen and develop their workforce skills through an additional 6 field days. The students work with regional program coordinators in one-on-one mentorships and on small group field days in smaller spaces such as research labs and at companies that don't have facilities for larger groups. During visits, participants can talk with employees about their careers and participate in mock interviews with human resource staff to prepare them for possible internships and the workforce, according to the release. The FARMS program added a top-level tier in 2017 by providing internships in the agricultural or conservation workplace. The program offers a practical application of educational studies. This opportunity is available to those who complete the FARMS Advanced program and are interested in pursuing a career in agriculture or environmental sciences. Hernandez says the program also encourages participants to give back with a community action project that can include environmental or agricultural projects or activities, such as working in a soup kitchen, park cleanups, and training elementary school students about how to care for animals. Five Star Gourmet Foods, based in Ontario, California, and home to the Simply Fresh brands, has announced the addition of seasoned food industry executive Jerry Callahan to their board of directors. Callahan boasts a four-decade tenure with Albertsons and Companies, a prominent food and drug retail giant in the United States. His role as GVP of produce, floral, meat, and seafood encompassed more than sales and profit management, but spearheading innovation across 2,250 stores across 14 divisions coast to coast. His contributions in revolutionizing in-store produce programs has set a precedent for unparalleled fresh quality. Five Star says that Callahan's expertise will play a crucial role in fostering a deeper understanding of retailers' challenges with fresh foods, and his insight will empower the company to continue crafting enhanced experiences and innovative solutions for their retail partners.
An open grower meeting in Escalon, California on August 17th will demonstrate the results of a trial for control treatments of plant parasitic nematodes in walnuts. UC Riverside nematologist Dr. Andreas Westfall is hosting the event and says the range of treatments they've used have shown some promise so far.
So among them, there are some birational treatments that look surprisingly good compared to non-treated or non-fumigant actions. And overall, nematode pressure is fairly high at this particular site. It's actually a site where the trees were removed in late fall of 2019, and to allow then treatments during the season of 2020, then to be planted in February of 2021. So none of the treatments fully mirrors what can be done with acetylene fumigation, but we will discuss at the meeting what challenges lay ahead on that.
The damage caused to walnut trees by nematodes can be fairly nondescriptive, says Westfall, showing signs as a tree that doesn't grow quite as well as others.
Many times in an orchard, there's quite some large variability from tree to tree, which shouldn't be there if the trees are on the rootstock that has the same genetics. But the damage is rendered to the plant by the nematode consuming plant nutrient. plant can use for its own nourishment, meaning for root and top growth, of course, and also because the nematodes interfere with water nutrient uptake by encumbering the roots.
Having access to the Escalon Orchard site, owned by walnut grower Robert Longstreth, has enabled UC researchers to greatly expand their research efforts, says Westphal.
We are glad that the grower Robert Longstreth is willing to help us so much with allowing us to do this to the site, that we could use treatments on a little bit larger scale than we can do at our research center, where we have to test more different treatments, but not at the larger scale as we can do here.
Westphal is hoping those who attend the field day on Thursday will walk away with a greater urgency for soil preparation to control nematodes.
I think one of the most important things is that, and I frequently state that in my extension talks, that preparing the soil just right before you start an orchard is it's imperative, especially on walnuts that are so very sensitive to walnut root lesion nematode.
The Nematode Field Day will be held from 8 to 9 a.m. at the Robert Longstreth Farming Operation, located at 26165 East River Road in Escalon, this Thursday. More information about the event can be found at sacvalleyorchards.com, and a full story about the event will appear in the October issue of West Coast Nut Magazine. For MyAgLife, this is Kristen Platts.
Sponsored by the California Walnut Board and Commission. Supporting the industry with on-farm innovation through production research, advocacy for government programs, and driving consumer demand. Doing more together.
International Fruit Genetics LLC, a cherry and table grape breeder, has announced its new patent raisin variety IFG Raisin 1 is ready to go to market. The company, known for its table grapes, has been delving into the raisin sector to breed unique varietals that will transform the raisin market, with a focus on the dried on the vine process, according to the company. DOV is a process whereby the grapes have been bred to reach a sugar level point so that it naturally dries on the vine. By growing DOV raisins, growers can cut down on labor intensive processes such as cane cutting, resulting in increased sustainability and profitability for the industry. IFG's first patent raisin varietal, IFG Raise 1, was recently presented at IFG's Field Day in Fresno, where Dustin Hooper, commercial manager for raisins, will showcase the fruit's unique DOV properties. IFG's raisin breeding program has always been focused on DOV varietals, according to Hooper. This is our research and development team's focus when working with raisins, with a goal to streamline the process and save growers costs for labor and inputs. As labor costs continue to grow in California, it is vital that they take this into consideration when developing new varieties. Hooper adds that IFG bred several characteristics into grapes so that the grapes would dry just enough and in just the right way, not too much or too little. He says they've been testing IFG Raise 1 for the past 36 months, and the DOV process has shown incredible promise. For the first time in years, they are able to alleviate several arduous processes that used to take so much time and energy. Additionally, the quality of the IFG's raisins will allow growers to stay competitive in an ever-changing world market, according to Austin Hubble, farm management with Marthadel Enterprises Incorporated. IFG raisin varietals are being grown for consumers, but most are allocated to value-added ag, where processors can use them for breakfast bars, cookies, and other tasty treats. IFG currently has 25 raisin varietals that are being tested and observed at Fruitworks IFG Discovery Center. Three different California growers have planted 15 acres of the IFG Raise 1 variety, with the first fruit coming to market in 2024. Inflation was up in July for the first time in a year, including for energy-sensitive agriculture. A rebound in energy and travel costs led to the first jump in consumer prices in over a year, as inflation accelerated by just over 3% in July from a year ago. And the news from the Bureau of Labor Statistics was not good for producers. Big energy consumers, who like others, saw a 7% jump in fuel prices from June. American Farm Bureau Federation Chief Economist Roger Cryon.
All these ups and downs are concerns. Farmers face so many risks, weather risks and price risks and blight. You know, there's so many risks that farmers face. We worry about every one of them.
And Cryon says farmers must pay the going price for inputs from fertilizer to diesel, because nothing gets done without fuel.
When it's planting season and harvest season, they've got to pay the price today, and that's a big expense for farmers. One of their biggest.
Another is the cost of borrowing.
Rates right now are very high, the highest they've been in over 10 years, actually the highest they've been in about 15 years. So with these higher rates, farmers are going to be facing higher cost of credit in the short run, and we're worried that we'll be talking about the burden of debt in the years to come.
Cryon blames the Federal Reserve for tightening credit too much. He says farmers are paying 7, 8, and 9% for operating loans, well above those rates of just a few years ago. The latest Purdue University Consumer Food Insights report shows consumers who are most satisfied with their food consumption also spend the lowest share of their incomes on food. The July 2023 survey-based report from Purdue Center for Food Demand Analysis and Sustainability assesses food spending, consumer satisfaction and values, support for agriculture and food policies, and trust in their information sources. Three of every four Americans who responded said their food satisfaction is thriving. The researchers found that consumers have yet to embrace meat alternatives as better than beef from cattle. Other results include household food at home spending is up 4.6% from July of 2022, reaching its highest level yet. Will farmers who use cover crops keep using them after cash incentives end? USA Ag News reporter Gary Crawford has the story.
Many farmers who incorporate cover crops got started in it because of incentives, either cash or crop insurance discounts. The question is,
once that incentive payment goes away, does the farmer stick with cover crops?
And the answer is yes. Dr. Rob Myers with USDA Sustainable Ag Research and Extension Group, University of Missouri, telling reporters Tuesday that according to a nationwide survey of farmers,
67% said definitely yes, they're going to stick with cover crops after those payments end. Another 22, almost 23% probably yes. So we're looking at about 90% are saying they're either definitely or probably going to stick with cover crops.
And on the flip side of that,
we only had about 3% that said they would stop using cover crops, either probably or definitely, after the incentive ends.
So the role of incentives may not be so much to help farmers continue using cover crops, but rather to get them to start using them in the first place. Gary Crawford for the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
Minor County, South Dakota farmer Arlen Foster is keeping up in the fight to prove a puddle on his farm is not a wetland, filing a petition with the Supreme Court in the latest action in a 15-year saga. Foster turned to the Supreme Court for the second time after a federal appeals court denied his petition. The U.S. Court of Appeals for the Eighth Circuit recently rejected Foster's claim that the USDA's Natural Resources Conservation Service unjustly rejected his request for a review of a wetlands determination on a point-acre tract of land. Foster presented a new study to the Natural Resources Conservation Service and in federal courts that he says shows there's not a natural wetland preventing him from taking part in federal programs if he farms the ground. The new analysis paid for by Foster found a tree belt installed on the property in 1936 causes massive snow piles in the fields and is a source of a puddle. The Foster petition treads the same legal ground as other legal cases before the Supreme Court.
We're waking up to a new dawn in agriculture, a better way, where farmers stop working the soil and start working with it. At Huma, our carbon-rich, humate-based products improve soil health and fertility, deliver nutrients more efficiently, and reduce crop input costs. Welcome to Humic Solutions with a human touch. Visit huma.us to learn more.
JCS Marketing is your number one way to connect with the ag industry. Through print magazines, digital media, podcasts, and live and virtual events, JCS Marketing has the reach to inform, educate, and influence growers in the Western United States.
Everywhere you go, you see West Coast Nut Magazine on every one of my customers' tables. So that tells you everything. It's there, so they're reading it.
Our My Ag Life platform includes podcast interviews and digital articles for busy professionals on the go. Our live events, continuing education webinars, and virtual conferences help growers connect with leading researchers and industry leaders. Let JCS Marketing help you connect.
That will wrap up today's show. You've been listening to the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm Lori Boyer. From all of us here at the JCS Marketing Team, thank you for listening.